from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia in the building as well. Jesse Tapia in the building because I am doing the show from home today. Had some yard work going on at my house. It appears to be done, I hope. And fingers crossed that that's the case, because if it's all done, then we are all good and I can begin my full transition into being a grill guy. Very much looking forward. I also, James, learned this morning that I have a full-blown drug addiction.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this earlier. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, man. The caffeine addiction is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like, oh, man, don't talk to me before I've had my coffee. I've never bought into that. It's not that hard to not be a jerk to people. But I will say, I typically do a cup of coffee in the morning. And then once I get home from work, depending on when I get home, I'll do a cup of coffee in the early afternoon. And I have not done that the last couple of days. And I woke up at 6 a.m. with a raging headache.
Mm.
And I think it's like the early caffeine withdrawal, because I had not had a coffee in nearly 24 hours. And my body rejected that idea.
Okay, so I only drink coffee in the morning unless, like, we go out to dinner and I'm going to have dessert, right? So if I go out to a nice dinner, I might have, like, a nice cappuccino or a coffee with dessert. But you do, Kyle knows, I have 2 cups of coffee every day.
Yep.
I used to be a 1 cup of coffee guy, but since I've been here and my body just cannot adjust to the sleep change, I just keep getting up earlier and earlier, and now I need 2 cups, but I don't drink coffee until I get here. So it's not like I've already had like 6 cups of coffee, and then I roll in, I got the jitters, and I'm sitting here having more coffee. yeah, no, that's not what happens. So, yeah.
So I started, so I back in, and I told the story on D'Lo and KC the other day, but I used to, when I worked in Arizona, I would drink 2 venti cold brews from Starbucks a day, which is just an obscene amount of caffeine. It is too much. And I knew that. And so I started cutting back. And now I drink a couple of cups of coffee like a day instead of 6 cups of coffee a day or whatever that comes out to. Right. So I thought that, hey, maybe I've weaned myself back enough that 24 hours without a cup of coffee is not going to bother me that much. I was wrong. I'm still there. Full blown addiction. Tough go for your boy.
I've been meaning to talk to you about your addiction, Kyle.
Yeah, no, I know step one is admitting it and admitting that I have a problem. I know I have a problem. And, you know, I would like to get to the point where if I don't have a cup of coffee for 24 hours, I don't wake up with a headache that I still have at 11:05 a.m.
Yeah. That's not good. Like,
yeah. And, you know, maybe I'm just dehydrated, but I've been drinking a lot of water lately. I know it's been a little bit hot, so maybe it's that, but I'm leaning caffeine withdrawal instead of the dehydration.
Yeah, you got to take care of business, man. Get your coffee in you.
I appreciate everybody. I appreciate everybody in the chatty house who is supportive of me in this time.
So I think as of right now, through the first hour and a few minutes of the show, we need a sponsor from Traeger and probably a meat company so we can become grill masters. There it is. Mm-hmm. And then also coffee. Like right there. We need these sponsors lined up, Kyle.
That's easy work. That's super easy work.
I feel like it should be easy work.
Yeah. You know. Let me know. I will hawk coffee all day. Whatever, you know. Anyways. If you could have on the Kings right now, money aside, punt the money.
Yep.
Adam Silver says, hey, I really want to get an NBA title to Sacramento Kings. You can have for free one of Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Who are you taking for this Kings roster?
I'm taking Jason Tatum. There are things that Jason Tatum does that I don't love. And there are things that Jaylen Brown does that I absolutely love. Like, holy cow. Like, that dunk he had last night early on was so nasty. So
the one after he stripped Luka?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But,
and then he had the one where he dribbled past Luka and then went through, like, four. Oh,
that's the one I'm thinking of, where he goes through, like, four different yes. Mavs on his way to, like, a hammer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig that, right? But I think that this particular Kings team needs a player like Tatum. And, you know, I'd even say that, like, Brandon Ingram is Jason Tatum light, right? And I would even, like, Kyle Kuzma is in that same type of mold of player, just not as good as Jason Tatum. So if there was a way for you to get a Jason Tatum to the Kings, I think, number one, it would make the Kings a full-fledged contender because you'd have three star-level players. But I also think it would, he just fits. And I think that having a motion offense or concept offense is spectacular. And I like the brand of basketball that we see from the Kings over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, on occasion, you need something different. In the final 3 minutes of a game, you need something different sometimes. You know, that is where like De'Aaron Fox has lived. And it's why he's become so effective as like one of the best closers in the game, because he is different when the game is on the line. He doesn't play within the concept all the time. And I think they could use another non-concept player that just kind of helped break up like sort of the flow of the game.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong here because both players just fit that athleticism and size thing that the Kings need.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might go Jaylen Brown, though. And it might be illogical, but I just feel like Jaylen Brown is a freaking dog in a way that is different from Jason Tatum. And his ability, like that sequence last night where he drains the corner three, the contested corner three, and then picks up Luka at half court, cookies, takes him from him, and then goes in and elevates and throws it down. You already talked about the one where he crosses up Luka and then like goes through Derek Jones and then goes up and punches on Daniel Gafford. Like, that's just insane for one player to be doing. I think his ability to break down a defense and get in the paint is something the Kings could really, really use. Not to say that Jason Tatum can't do that, because like I said, Tatum is an electric, incredible player. But it's not the one dribble, first step by you in the lane, defense collapsing. No, he is a way better playmaker than Jaylen Brown is, which I think is definitely an argument in his favor, particularly on this Kings team. But man, there's just something about Jaylen Brown where I think he was their best player in the 2022 finals. I think with all due respect to Tatum and Kristaps Porzingis last night, I think Jaylen Brown was their best player last night. And in a big spot, I think I'd rather have Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And maybe that's nuts. Maybe that's way off base. But again, in my brief watching of the Celtics in these big games, just like, man, I feel like Jaylen Brown is there every single time.
I think it's a point now where Brown has kind of elevated himself. I'm not saying he's on Tatum's level, but closer to that. Like, he's closer to a Tatum than he is, like, Tatum closer to a Brown type or whatever, if that makes sense. Like, they're just both top-tier guys at this point in their career.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Like, Jaylen Brown, especially because of what he does in these bigger moments, it's not Jason Tatum. I think that's a good way to put it, Jesse. It's not Jason Tatum has regressed to some level to meet Jaylen Brown. It's like, nah, man. Jaylen Brown is just kind of stepping up and continuing to get better and show out
yeah.
in those spots.
I'm with you. I think they're both extremely talented. I just think, like, for me, the value for the Kings would be a 6'9" guy who can rebound and play defense and do all of the things that Tatum does. More, he would be more valuable than Brown to this specific team. And I might be off because I think watching number one, Jaylen Brown and De'Aaron Fox get out and run on the court together would be, like, amazing. And I also think watching Jaylen Brown coming off a Sabonis screen and getting downhill on teams would be just incredible to watch. So having a guy who, again, changes the verticality of the floor, like, has a way to space the floor, not like what we talked about with Jason Tatum the other day, not just, you know, space it, you know, towards the 3-point line, but be able to vertically space the floor, I think would be really, really impressive, like, to have a guard that could do something like that. And, you know, you get a little bit of that from Malik, but Tatum is just bigger, stronger, more athletic, and crazy going to the rim, where I think there's more finesse to the Kings guards.
Yeah, man, it's one of those things where when I presented you with this question, I pretty rarely do this, but I genuinely feel kind of both ways here where I was like, I'm just going to argue whatever side James doesn't.
Because you can
legitimately, like, I think when we're talking about, you know, players who would help Sacramento, I don't know that there are two players in the league that personify that type of player more than those two.
No, you're probably right.
So
yeah, very exciting players.
Yeah, man. Is Jaylen Brown the MVP of the finals right now?
Oof. I think Porzingis, the way he came out, he set the tone for that game. And I was shocked that he was that good that early, but
yeah, he's awesome.
Like, maybe Brown is the leader, but it's really close with him and Porzingis.
Jesse, Celtics fan, Jesse Tapia in the building. I have my MVP ladder right now. And again, this will change throughout the series, but I've got Jaylen Brown 1, Porzingis 2, Tatum 3.
That's how I have it right now.
Okay.
I think Brown did a lot defensively yesterday too. Played more minutes too. Okay. That's why I gave him the edge.
Okay. Very good. Jaylen Brown is your finals MVP after game one. But again, we'll continue talking about that because I'm guessing if the Mavs win game 2, it'll be Luka Doncic. So
probably
that's where we land. All right, we need to hit a quick break. Good idea or bad idea coming up next, including the single best way to finish a baseball game. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, is this true? I'm Kyle. He's James. We're the insider sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Soren Smith in the chatty house. I'm not going to say what question you asked because nobody cares. But is that a true thing, or are you making that up? Anyways,
I think he's just making that up to mess with you.
God, I hope so.
That would make sense.
I'm out on him anyways. I'm out on Kai Soto anyways. yeah. Good idea or bad idea? That's what we're gonna do next. We do this every day. Three stories happening in sports, and we decide if that thing that's happening is a good idea or a bad idea. Got a couple of baseball things to get to, including one where the Pioneer League has figured out extra innings.
Yes.
If you're unfamiliar, the Pioneer League is the league that the Oakland Ballers play in. The Oakland Bees are a new team in that league. They play out at Raymondi Park in Oakland, and it looks like a blast. Well, it turns out that in the Pioneer League, which is a minor league,
independent league,
professional league, independent league.
Yeah, yeah.
They, instead of going to extra innings, do a home run derby.
Spectacular.
It's the best idea.
Yes.
I know that there are baseball traditionalists who are going to be like, no, that's the point of baseball, is you can play 100 innings conceivably, because that's the sport, that's how it goes. But let's be honest, we're in 2024, things are adapting, things are changing, and we've already seen the free runner on second base in extra innings, the three batter minimum for relief pitchers. Like, the game has changed. We've banned shifts. There's all these different things and all these different ways the baseball is changing. And in an era where injuries are a problem, where you have pitchers breaking down, why risk a 16-inning game? And why not just give the fans what they want and put a couple of power hitters out there cranking batting practice pitches 480 feet?
Sounds like a great time. I absolutely loved it. You have a batting practice pitcher. It just lobbing 85-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the pipe. I think it's a really intriguing way to end a game, and it's fun. It's exhilarating. It's almost having, what is it, in soccer, when you have a shootout at the end, or in hockey, when it's a shootout, 1v1, player versus keeper. It kind of feels that way. And I think Major League Baseball, by already morphing their rule and doing the basically a ghost runner, having a runner at second base to start an inning, just is weird. The whole thing feels weird. I don't know how you judge somebody's ERA if you give up a run and then not. I don't know how they do it.
I think it's an unearned run.
Well, yeah, but how does that make any sense too? Like, so like it, you're messing with the rules of the game and how statistics are compiled for a pitcher. Like if he strikes out three guys, I'm sure he gets the three strikeouts, but if he lets a guy in, you know, like it, I think the first run doesn't count against them, but if any subsequent runs do count, but still that it feels like we're already messing with like the basic tenets of baseball. And like, why not? Like I dig the home run derby idea. It's fun.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I know it would be a major change and there'd be a lot of people who rejected it, but every game potentially ending or every extra inning game potentially ending on a walk-off home run. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That'd be a blast. Good idea by the Pioneer League. Number two, Adam Silver said that the NBA is exploring expansion. I don't think that's necessarily news. You know, we've talked about Seattle and Las Vegas as the two cities that are going to get a team when the NBA expands, and then they'll move, you know, like Memphis and Minnesota to the Eastern Conference or whatever it is, and that way things are even and they'll have two expansion teams in the West. I think it's kind of a bad idea.
You think it's a bad idea?
Yeah, a little bit. I love the idea of putting a team back in Seattle. Here for it. Love it. Big time. A+. But I don't know. I kind of feel like that, and this is something Adam Silver brought up. My worry would be that it would dilute the talent pool a little bit. Like, that's 30 additional roster spots.
Yeah. I get that, but I don't know. Like, the league has expanded multiple times in the past, and it may take a year or two to sort of rebalance the league, but overall, I don't think it takes away from the product so much. And I think there are guys sitting on NBA benches that are really, really good players, and if we're given an opportunity somewhere else, they might be able to grow and become, you know, like very good rotational players or starters in the league. And it's just such an opportunity league. And when you have a league that players are now playing longer and longer and longer, a lot like baseball, I think they're also like, it's harder to break through. It's harder to break into the league. And, you know, we're looking at a bunch of stars that are playing into their late 30s. Okay. I mean, that takes away from potential players coming into the league. So I don't know. I'm okay with it, but I'll keep saying it. I wish the NBA would go to a three round draft. I wish they expand the G League to be a true minor league system where you, and then I also think that like the idea to make a, like two way players, but like super two ways. So maybe have two young guy two ways and two older guy two ways, guys that like aren't eligible for two way contracts right now, that could come back into the league and give you minutes on a 2 week period while you have injuries or whatever. I think that would help the league too. And I think it would also help the league start to build the talent base for when you do expand, all of a sudden you have another group of players that have more NBA experience that are on the cusp of being NBA players and would probably fit into systems easier.
Yeah. And I guess that makes sense too. It's more opportunities, right?
Yeah,
I'm worried about a dilution of the talent pool. Well, maybe there's a bunch of talented players who just aren't developing because they aren't getting to play.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That's always a possibility.
Either way, they're expanding. The NBA is going to expand at some point.
Oh yeah, and I think
in the not super distant
future. For as much as Sacramento has a beef with Seattle over that whole situation back in 2012 and 13, where they tried to steal the team. I think that we should all look at Seattle as like a true major league city, and I think it would be spectacular to have that city be back in the fold. And I'm not convinced about Major League Baseball in Las Vegas. I am convinced about NBA basketball in Vegas, because very seldom are you having like back to backs at home, like once or twice a year. I think it can be like a great event to show up to, as opposed to trying to get team players, people to come into town to catch a 3-game series or something in baseball. So I think it would actually do well. And it's where Summer League is every year. There's already a built-in fan base. There's a lot of people who go to Vegas to watch basketball already. The Aces have done really well there. I think it's definitely a potential good spot.
Yeah, and it's a sport that takes place through the fall and winter and spring for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a all the way through the summer where it's going to be 114 degrees and you're playing outdoors.
Yeah.
that's a big piece of it for sure. Speaking of baseball in Las Vegas, the A's sent out an email yesterday asking people. I saw Melissa Lockard from The Athletic post about this on Twitter. I did not receive this email, but A's fans, I guess, got an email asking about what kind of products they would like to see in Sacramento.
Oof.
Was that the gist of it? Like, that's terrible idea. Don't do that. Don't ask any A's fan what they want from the A's right now.
No, I agree with that. Like, A's fans, I do think, like, I was given yesterday, like, we were sitting there and someone had sent me a like questionnaire, but I think it was from the Kings about potential A's stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe I misread it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's possible that we're looking at this like something different, but for me, it was okay to like go through, but then it felt like I was being pitched tickets at the end. Like, hey, here's how you have to like here, put down $100 to save your seats for next year to get on the list. Some interesting things like where you usually sit when you go to a game. Like third base side, behind home plate, first base side, infield, first base side, outfield, you know, where do you want to sit, that kind of stuff. What are you looking for in a seat? And it's like somewhere that has shade. Yes. Like for me, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
The first base line at Sutter Health Field is tough. It's tough in the afternoon. And in the evening, you're just getting pelted. And for a guy who can't sit in the sun for 3 hours, that's not a good thing. So, yeah, I mean, I still think it's too new. It's too raw. And that's a problem.
Yeah. Ramsey in the chat and then Manu Fresh as well said that they was an email sent out by the Kings asking about the A's. Bad idea.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. I have more to say on this. I'll tell you why next. We got to hit the break. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We'll be back in a second.
This hour of the show is brought to you by...
That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. We've got the handoff with one of D'Lo or Casey coming up in about 15 minutes. We're talking about that survey that the Kings sent out asking about the A's playing at Sutter Health Park next season.
Mm-hmm.
And James, like you said, it was a lot of just kind of your preferred game day experience. Where you sit? Do you sit in the shade? Da-da-da-da-da. And I think that this is one of the problems. And I know the Kings are trying to make sure that they are appealing to the broadest spectrum of fan possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be a lot of people who come in, A, just to watch Major League Baseball, B, to see other teams. And then you've got A's fans who are pulling up and excited to watch the A's for sure. But they want to make sure that they're hitting as many possible points of fandom while asking about this. And that makes all the sense. But I just want to, this is a pet peeve of mine when it comes to sports in general, but particularly with the A's, given what they've been for the last, 25 years. It's not complicated as to what fans want. It's not. It's not. Bells and whistles in a stadium are great. A great view from the third deck of the Bay Area is awesome, or downtown Sacramento as it were up in the 916. But commitment from ownership to trying to win, you don't even have to win all the time. Look at the Padres. The Padres haven't won anything, but they committed heavily to investing in their roster, and now Petco Park, again in downtown San Diego, gorgeous park for sure, don't get it twisted, but it is a place people want to be because ownership made that investment in the team and in the fan base to say, hey, look, the San Diego Padres are trying to win. Are they winning? Not. They haven't won a World Series. They haven't made a World Series run or anything like that. But they're showing, ownership and the front office are showing that, like, hey, fans, we got you. We are going to put out a product where we are trying to win. The A's have not done that. that has not been their primary goal. And that's been the major problem. And so when it comes to the A's playing in Sacramento, I know that there are going to be people who are excited. Like I said, there are people who are going to go and they're going to fill up the Sutter Health Park because it's just like, hey, Major League Baseball, look at this novelty. But at the same time, let's just say the A's have one foot out the door in Vegas and they're worried about that deal falling through, and now they're eyeballing Sacramento. If you want people to come out to games, invest in the team. Mm-hmm. Invest in winning. Invest in fans. If you're expecting people to give you their time and to give you their money and to give you their emotions, then you have to give something back. You cannot ask. You cannot take from fans and then not give a concerted effort to try and be at the top of the standings and to be the ones hoisting a World Series trophy at the end of the year. That's just not how it works.
No,
so don't make it overcomplicated.
I'm with you, Kyle. I think that that's the worst part about what we've seen. You know, it's just been this slow drain for almost two decades where they won't let you be a true fan. Like, you can, if you can't buy your kid a jersey with a player name on it, you can't do that for the A's, because your kid is going to have a jersey like a year later that no one will even know who that person is. And that's tough. Like, you've robbed your fans of like the basics of fandom. And mm-hmm. I think for them to reset in Sacramento, and it was very clear, like the email started out, the Oakland A's are going to play at Sutter Health Park in Sacramento for the 2025, 26, and 27 seasons before relocating to Las Vegas for 2028. Like, that's exactly how the intro to paragraph to the like survey was, right? And it just, once again, it's just a reminder that like anything that John Fisher does is very, very temporary. And as a fan, there is so much value to Mitch Richmond spending 8 years in a Kings jersey, to Vlade Divac signing like a 7-year deal, to De'Aaron Fox playing from 2017 to 2024 in a Kings jersey, and probably there's a good chance he'll play the rest of his career in a Kings jersey. There is so much value to having people, players that you can attach your fandom to. And winning is one thing, but just having someone that you know is always going to be there is also something. And that's something, it just feels like Major League Baseball and John Fisher allowed this to happen, where you killed like such a vital part of fandom for your base. And it's so when you send out a survey about this, it's like, okay, I don't know what to tell you. Like, first of all, your team's not good enough, so how about you get better players? But how do you expect the A's to get better players moving to a park that only has 14,000 maximum capacity? It's not like they are selling out in 30,000, 35,000. Like, they're going to have they'll sell out every game, I think, in Sacramento from day one until they're no longer here. I think that they will sell out, but that doesn't mean anything unless all of a sudden we're paying Kings prices for baseball games, and that's not a good thing either. So I think fans are going to like revolt if you walk in and the cheapest seat to get into Sutter Health Park is, you know, $112. They're just going to revolt and like, yeah, we're not coming out here. So yeah. I think it's interesting. It's a very difficult balancing act, but you do need to put money into the product. You do need to, you know, not only like have young players like Zach Gelof and Soderstrom like develop and become really good ball players, but also they need to sign extensions so they're, you know, that they're going to play here the entire 3 years they're in Sacramento, and hopefully longer, and that they'll be the guys that open up the stadium in Vegas if that ever happens. But I just don't see the A's being that type of team that will do that. Like, changing their mindset on how they build a roster is just, I don't think that they're willing to do it or that they're willing to pay. And that's tough.
There's no evidence of that.
No,
there's zero evidence. And maybe that's the plan. Maybe they're going to go, yeah, hey, we're in Sacramento now. John Fisher's going to open up the purse strings. Let's build a contending roster. So we have 3 to 4 years of real contention and real team building before going into Vegas as championship contenders. Mm. But that would require winning being some level of priority, and I don't think it is. And so I agree with you for the most part. If the A's do that, if the A's re-sign Mason Miller and Zach Geloff starts raking again and they say, you know what, we're committing to Zach Geloff, he's going to be the guy. And maybe Lawrence Butler is going to stick around and maybe J.P. Sears is going to stick around. If they start doing that where there are recognizable names for every year they're here in Sacramento, then yeah, I think you'll get people to buy in. And I think they if they did that, they would start winning a little more frequently as well. But if, hey, everybody get excited. Look, we're going to market Mason Miller, baseball's most electric closer. Look at him go, although I know he's been struggling lately. But look at it. Here's this guy who was an all-star. And then he gets traded halfway through that first season, and they win 70 games. And then in year two, they win 72 games with an entirely new group of players. I don't know if the buy-in is going to be the same. And I mean, like I said, I could be wrong, but I just don't think that there's going to be any commitment to winning suddenly now that they're in an even smaller ballpark, in a minor league ballpark and an impermanent home.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think winning won't matter the first few years. If they're going to be here long term, then winning becomes huge, becomes paramount. Yeah. But the first couple of years is going to be like a novelty item where you can go see the Cubs play on a Tuesday night.
Sure.
You know, and that's something that I think people are going, even like Rivercats people, like there are a lot of season ticket holders for Rivercats who have been going for a long time. I think that if you package it the right way, I think the problem is that the A's are kind of hamstrung. Well, Sacramento is kind of hamstrung in how they can market that the A's are going to be here. And again, if every time you put out an email, it has to have on its, you know, basically your signature, is it like, this is temporary, they're leaving, don't get too attached.
Right.
That's not going to help. And so I hope it works out. But I also think that Sacramento is a big time Major League Baseball city. And I
agree with you.
Yeah. And people are asking, like, hey, can they get a stadium built or anything? Hey, from what I've heard, there's already things going on behind the scenes in case this thing falls through where, yeah, like they are making plans for the A's to be here long term, and they are making plans for what that would look like and what kind of stadium that would look like and all that stuff right now already. And whether that happens or not, we don't know. But I still think, like, at the end of the, you have to put money into the product. You have to make it worthwhile for people to not commit year one, year two, year three. I think it's going to be a tough ticket the first couple of years because people are going to want to go see the novelty of it. But after that first couple of years, can you show something different? And I would point to, like, I think it's 19 of the first 20 seasons the Sacramento Kings sold out completely at Arco Arena. And that's most of those seasons, all but 8 of those seasons, they were pretty trash, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, they made the playoffs the first year there in Sacramento. They made the playoffs in the 95-96 season, but then it's only the 8-year window. And so we got 10 years there, and all the other years they sold out completely, except for one season. It was after they made the playoffs in 95-96. And then missed the next year and then lost Brian Grant and lost talent. And everyone's like, oh, well, this thing's over, that they didn't sell out. Sacramento shows up. And I think that's something, you know, MLS has missed the boat completely. Sacramento's always showed up for the Republic. And the fact that, like, they've pulled the potential MLS franchise and given it to them, pulled it back. Part of that's because they couldn't find, like, the big giant whale that everybody wants to see in Sacramento. But at the same time, man, this is a soccer community, and you're just missing the boat on what would be one of your best franchises, because it's not even like your fan base is going to be incredible. And shout out to the Republic and the Battalion. Like, they do a great job. They love the Republic. But this is a major league city.
Yeah, man, that's not, like, Sacramento is definitely not a question for me. My larger point here is about John Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
And about the A's, if you're going to be in Sacramento, long term, short term, whatever it is, like at some point, hey, how much shade do you want? Where do you usually sit? How close do you sit? Hey, do you want to put a deposit on season tickets? Gotta know. Do you want to put a deposit on a shortstop?
There you go.
That's the question. So, no, it's not complicated. To whoever from the Kings is listening and wants to know how to make the A's a thing people want to come see, invest in the team.
Yeah. Get a shortstop.
or
a third baseman.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop drafting catchers. I don't know.
Yeah. And if you are going to draft a shortstop, maybe make it a guy who's not going to hit a buck 10 in single A. I don't know.
Something like that.
Hey, I was thinking about this last night, and I know this is a big conversation kind of throughout the playoffs, is the whole face of the NBA thing, right?
Yeah.
And how Anthony Edwards is, wow, look at this ascension. He is going to be the next face of the NBA. So I'm going to ask you a couple of rapid fire questions because I'm trying to get to a point. Who's the NBA's face right now?
Well, I think it's turning into Luka.
Okay. But who is it right now, today?
I mean,
it's LeBron. I think it's LeBron.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Okay. Still, it's still LeBron.
Right. It's LeBron. There are people.
And then Steph.
Right. Yeah. Steph is in that mix as well.
KD.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But those guys, again, are all 35 and older, 36 mm-hmm. and older. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're all aging out. Steph Curry's older than Larry Bird was when Larry Bird was on the Dream Team. That blew my mind. Anyways, those guys are aging out, which means that's the whole like, hey, who's going to be the new face of the league?
Mm-hmm.
And part of me kind of thinks there's just not going to be one.
Oh,
like LeBron was just so very obviously the guy, whether you liked him or didn't like him. It was LeBron's league. He went to the finals in what, 10 straight years or something like that. It was 9, 10 straight. It was just ridiculous. It was like, hey, LeBron's the face of the league, whether you like him or love him or hate him or hope that he never played basketball. That's what it was. And I know Steph kind of had his little time there and KD had his little time there. But with the way this is going, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and with Luka and with Nikola Jokic and maybe with Giannis, I don't think that there's going to be this like sustained level of dominance where you have a player who's in the conference championships and in the finals every single year, who is also skilled enough and that good to be considered that level of face of the league level of player. And I kind of wonder if we're just not going to have a consensus like, oh yeah, that's the dude. That's the guy. That's just the best. And maybe it is Luka. Maybe Luka gets there eventually.
No, I think you're right. Well, I don't know. It feels like there's always a face of the league. I think that there is. I think that there's always a player that's going to step into a role and you're going to go, oh, no, wait, this is a new guy. And sometimes it feels forced. LeBron was like just so easy to make the face of the league. And I also think that that Kobe would have been the face of the league, except for he had some off the court problems, like coming out of the Michael era. So I think that like just the default setting was like, oh, look, it's LeBron. LeBron's the face of the league. Right. Mm-hmm. But the league, at least under the previous, we have Damian Marling trying to log in, okay. But our morning got thrown off, so I didn't log into the other computers.
I know, it's my fault.
It's not your fault, yeah. So, but I would say that that the league under David Stern was totally different, right? We're seeing that this is becoming more and more Adam Silver's league, and I mm-hmm. think Adam Silver's league might look differently. Like at the end of the day, it is going to look differently than David Stern's league. And so maybe it won't be so much about a face of the league or, you know, like one single guy as much as it would be about like teams and groups of players that you kind of feel more and more comfortable with.
Damian Barling, it's time for the handoff. Welcome in. In fact, you're wearing a very apropos shirt today with Kobe and Michael on it because the question I just presented to James.
That's Kobe and Kobe.
Oh,
That's 8 and 24. Yeah. That's Kobe and Kobe. That's Kobe and 8 and Kobe and 24.
Mm. Oh, I could not see. It looked like the a black Bulls jersey from where I'm from where I'm sitting. All right. My bad. You. It's Kobe and Kobe. Either way.
And
Kobe
we also we've also just to be clear, we've established Kobe gear is not Lakers gear. It's not the same thing. That has been established in the collective bargaining agreement of the Chatty House that you could wear Kobe gear.
Okay.
Just I just want to be clear.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like show. No, but no. So we're talking about because the Anthony Edwards face of the league conversation was just such a like hot topic as they were steamrolling the Suns and then going out and going up 2-0 on the Nuggets. But in my mind, there's not a player right now that I think is the surefire post LeBron, post Steph, post KD, like face of the league. I think it's very, very much still up for grabs.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. There isn't. Like, truth be told, it feels like it's Victor Wembanyama. Like, that's who it feels
that's
like.
That's who they want it to be.
Well, not just that, but, like, when you guys were talking about Kobe earlier and Michael and that kind of transition time, and, like, LeBron, the only guy who had a comparable build to LeBron James prior to getting to the league is Wemby. You know, now it's just it's really the, you know, the who's going to take it. And it's not just, you know, it's not just being anointed. You know, Luka's been anointed, but he's got to take the mantle. He hasn't taken that mantle. He might not even be interested in it, to be honest. The guy in Minnesota wants it. Like the way he moves, the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he plays, the way he does everything is I'm him. Like, I'm the guy. And that's as much as I love him, I don't think that's a trait Jason Tatum has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there are a lot of guys who are really, really good who don't have that trait of, it's mine. I'm the one. A lot of guys don't have that trait, but I believe Anthony Edwards does. Time will tell if Wemby does. And in my early indications are he has that, but right now, like the one who is checking all of the boxes is Anthony Edwards. But to your original point, yeah, absolutely not. Like, it is not defined what's next at all or who's next.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards will go have 40 and 15 and then run through his 10 favorite plays from that 40 and 15. Jason Tatum's going to have 40 and 15 and then go home and be a family man.
Like, that's there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's
not at all.
That's the Jokic model, right? Like, Jokic goes to work and goes home.
Yeah,
that's
when it comes to Tatum too, Tatum to me is he's a star, but I still don't know that he's reached like super, superstar status. Like it used to be the topic of discussion here in Sacramento, is Chris Webber a superstar or is he a star? And then some people just like, well, you compare him to Kevin Garnett and like, it's hard to say that Chris Webber's not a superstar if Kevin Garnett is a superstar. There's all of this like sort of confusion over what is a star, what is a superstar. But when you look at what we've seen from Tatum, he hasn't put up that season where you're like, oh my gosh, like he's just so unstoppable every single night. Right. And I hate to say it, but Luka just keeps doing it. And we're just sitting here like, we don't love the way he plays.
But I think there's another element to this. Kenny and I were actually talking about this the other day. There's stars and there's superstars, right?
Yeah.
But then there's a different layer after that that you don't have very many of. And in my opinion, I think it was our opinion, there's two right now. It's LeBron James and it's Steph Curry. Those guys are massive stars outside of basketball.
Mm, okay.
Jason Tatum is not a massive star outside of basketball. Anthony Edwards isn't yet a massive star. Most of these guys that we're talking about, they're stars in the realms of the NBA. They're stars in the realms of sports. LeBron is in a different stratosphere. Steph Curry is in a different stratosphere. Regardless of basketball players, seasons, endorsements, all of that, no one is where those two are. Mm. And there aren't many guys in a generation that hit that level. And like Kobe is an obvious one. Michael is an obvious one. Everything else is kind of like an argument. Like Allen Iverson, maybe. Shaq, probably. But like you'll probably be able to count on less than one hand Or no, I take that back. You probably be able to count on less than two hands how many of those guys there really have been.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know who's going to do it next. Truthfully,
yeah. What do you guys got coming up?
Well, we'll talk about. I'm gonna hold off a little. I don't think there's any reason to overreact to that game last night and think this is, you know, a disaster of an NBA Finals and Dallas has no shot. Dallas, and we'll talk about why I feel that way. But yeah, lots of finals talk coming up.
All right.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. Everybody have a safe weekend. Until Monday at 10, we've been the Insiders. Drink water and be nice to people. See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.